A little over a year ago, Disney Pixar released a movie entitled Coco, about a boy in the midst of the Mexican celebration of Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, and the adventures he had in the realm of the dead. Of course, the tradition of the Day of the Dead is that the families put out shrines or memorias, as they call them, memorials to family members where they have pictures of various family members going back several generations. They put ofrendas, offerings, before them. And it is the day of the year in which they invite the spirits of their ancestors who they remember to come and be with them as they celebrate that day, the Day of the Dead. And as young Miguel finds himself in the realm of the dead, he comes to experience the importance of remembering family members. Upon borrowing a guitar from another member of the dead, along with his companion Hector, another man from the realm of the dead, Hector plays a song for the other member, after which the person smiles and he disintegrates into dust and fades away. And Miguel asks Hector, what happened to him? He said, this is what happens to a spirit when he has ceased to be remembered in the world of the living. He just fades away and goes into what they call the second death. And Miguel asks him, well, where did he go? And Hector says, no one knows, but all of us will go there someday. A reminder of the importance of remembering one's family, one's ancestors, but also a rather grim reminder that as time goes by, all of us will be remembered less and less as the generations proceed. As followers of Christ, we might have another hope to that, because as we are people of faith, having received this faith from our families, while we may forget our ancestors as we go further back generations, they are still remembered by one very important thing. My generational memory goes back about as far as my great-grandparents. And it's always amazing to me when people come up to me, because it's very trendy these days, and they say, Father, you should really do an investigation of your genealogy. I always ask them the same question when they ask me that. I said, well, why? I'm a person who loves history, but it's always interesting to see what their response is. They said, well, why would I want to do a study of my genealogy? And it's interesting, they always say the same thing. You might be related to royalty. Have you ever noticed it's always the case? Everyone somehow thinks they're related to royalty. And maybe we all are one way or another, considering the behavior of a lot of royalty over history. But with my luck, I'd probably be related to horse thieves and bank robbers. But under the presumption that I might be related to royalty, I ask them another question. I say, well, if I am, does that mean you're going to bow to me when you see me? And of course, they don't answer, but we all know what the answer is. But my memory goes as far back as my great-grandparents, and one in particular is on my dad's mother's side. It comes from a family named Redondo, and yes, it is the same family from which the city and subsequent beach, Redondo Beach, is named. I come from the Redondo family. In fact, a distant ancestor was the governor of the Tucson Territory when Spain controlled this land. But my great-grandfather, we are particularly fond of telling, was associated, at least, with the Rough Riders of Teddy Roosevelt. Now, granted, I have looked at a number of lists of the Rough Riders, and nowhere have I found the name Antonio Redondo. However, I do know that he was a newspaper correspondent, and it is probable that he was not a Rough Rider outright, but knowing how much Teddy Roosevelt loved good publicity and was very much a proponent of it, especially where his career was concerned, that is probably the capacity in which my great-grandfather is associated with the Rough Riders. Because in more than one picture, we see my grandfather with President Roosevelt, one in particular as the president is dedicating a dam. About a few feet behind him is a familiar face that everyone saw when they were visiting the National Archives, and they checked, and sure enough, the man in that picture was my great-grandfather, Antonio Redondo. But as for the rest, I really don't know who my great-great-grandparents were. I don't know my other great-grandfather who came over from Greece, from where I get the name Nicholas. And on my mother's side, I only know of my great-grandparents when they came over from Ireland, but of the family back in Ireland, I don't know them. I don't have any memory of them. But one thing I do know is that the faith they professed is the faith that I profess. And while their memory has faded from my family, they continue to live on. Their memory, at least, continues to live on in the faith that we profess, which is the faith that they profess. And I know that some point in history, in my family's history, they embraced this Catholic faith. And my family continues to carry it on, even as we have forgotten the memory of those ancestors. Today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And in them we see the primitive church. And Mary and Joseph, whose life were focused on Jesus, as they all three were focused on fulfilling the will of the Heavenly Father. We see in them a model of the church itself, in Mary, who is celebrated as the image and model and symbol of the church, Holy Mother Church, and in Saint Joseph, who many of you may know, is celebrated as the patron saint of the Catholic Church. So its symbol and its patron saint, both centered on Christ, who is the church, as we are the mystical body of Christ, continuing to sanctify the world until he returns in glory. But that is a reflection of the much wider church throughout the world, whether it be the entire church with our Holy Father, the Catholic Church here within the United States, our local diocese, our parish here at St. Vincent's, even down to the most basic component of the church, and that is the family. Mothers and fathers living, we pray, the will of God with their focus on Christ in whatever vocation and life that they have, and passing on that faith from one generation to the next. I always like to remind people, especially parents of children who are preparing to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, ours is a faith that has been passed down for 2,000 years. It has not survived that long because of the celibate clergy. We've had our roles, and an important one at that, but it has continued to endure from parents passing on that faith to their children, children to the grandchildren, and down through the centuries. But even as far back as God's covenant with Moses on Mount Sinai when he entered into covenant with his holy people of Israel. And we see in that the essence of the commandment, honor your father and your mother. It's not simply be nice to them, but take to heart the faith that they pass on. Live it as adults, and in turn pass it on to your children. Indeed, blowing off the faith that our parents raised us in would in fact be a violation of that commandment. And unfortunately, we know, in this day and age especially, the number of families I've encountered, parents and grandparents I've encountered, who have shared with me that their children don't practice the faith they tried to raise them in, and their grandchildren were not baptized in it and are not being raised in it. When we think about that, in terms of the memory that we have of our ancestors who went before us, the faith that they professed, how thoroughly lost that memory is when we stop practicing and passing on that faith that they profess. We've lost everything that is associated with their memory, including that faith of a salvation we profess in Jesus Christ when we lose that. So I always encourage parents, grandparents, even the children. Ours, and especially the life of a family, a Christian family, is a tradition that has gone on for 2,000 years. At some point, that faith entered into your family. Don't let 2,000 years of passing on the faith from one generation to the next end with you, or end with your children or grandchildren. Because in the end, as generations, subsequent generations live and die, the memory of previous generations begins to fade, until by the fourth or fifth generation, we don't know who those ancestors are. Perhaps some of us don't care. But one thing we can say is that we profess the faith that they professed, that has been a part of our family tradition and our family identity. And that, in fact, is the true calling, regardless of profession, location, nationality, and culture, for a Christian Catholic family. That is the true calling, to live that faith and pass it on to the next generation. And we have as our model the Holy Family themselves, who reflect the wider church to whom we belong, of which the basic component is the family, who gathers in the home, lives that faith, and passes it on from one generation to the next. So let us pray for all those whose vocation it is to be parents of children, for all those who celebrate life as a family, that they take to heart that role, not just for society, not just for the future of the church, but for the very task of the salvation of souls that is God's ultimate goal for all of humanity. And let us seek to live as good families before Christ, with our focus on Christ and our task of living the will of God, whatever that may be in our lives, as a community of faith that is the parish, the wider church, and ultimately symbolized in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.